Romans chapter number 8, and I am looking at just one verse tonight. Now, I've preached from this passage not long ago, just my records show in 2020, but that's okay. I think that I'm going to double back because I preached from the passage. I want to get one verse in. I just want to look at one verse. The Bible says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I want to look at that phrase, the last part of it, the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see, everybody's focusing on the sufferings and the sufferings of this present time. This present time, these 21 months, everybody's focusing on that. And certainly people have lost loved ones and friends and family. And that tends to be our focus. But here's what the apostle said. He said that, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Let's pray. Father, I pray you would settle my heart and mind. Lord, I cannot quite explain the burden that has rested upon me about shutting the ministry down. I cannot quite explain the apprehension that I feel. And Lord, Lord, you know my heart. I'm worried about those that are sick. Lord, I'm worried about those that, Lord, we're caring for. Lord, I'm concerned beyond concern. Lord, I am concerned about what people say, and Lord, I am concerned about what people think. But Lord, more than that, I'm concerned about the mind of God and the will of God, and Lord, I'm concerned about trying to do right. And so, Lord, I pray you'd ease that tonight. You'd give us, loose us and let us go. Lord, without the liberty that we so desperately need, Lord, there'll be this thing won't. It won't do what it needs to do. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us in this hour. And Lord, may we be faithful to your word in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Well, I'm interested in what the Apostle Paul had to say. We say it's a mountain phrase, but actually it is the phrase that we're using is actually a Hebraism. And meaning that our English was formed from the Hebrew. And even though Paul spoke in the Greek language when he penned this down, he spoke as a Hellenist Jew. And he spoke with that terms of comparison, which was very common in the New Testament. And he says, "For I reckon." In the mountains, people reckon a lot. We reckon this and reckon that. Well, I reckon. Sometimes, actually, when you ask somebody, "Are you going to church tomorrow night?" They'll say, "Well, I reckon." That is not an absolute concrete yes. When in the mountains, the way we use it, sometimes reckon means, "Well, I'll think about it, or I'll try to, or well, we'll see." Kind of thought, kind of an answer. That's not at all how the Apostle Paul used it. The Apostle Paul used it like a balance scale. And he said, "I've taken the sufferings of this present world and I've put them over here." And then he said, "I've taken the glory that awaits us and I've put it over here." And he said, "I have reckoned those." It's an accounting term. It is a term for assaying medicine. Metal. If you're assaying gold, you take a pre-measured weight, you put it on this side, and then you take the gold nuggets and you rake them onto this side until the balance brings itself even. And when that scale reckons itself, when it reckons itself, when it becomes level, that's exactly how much gold you have, is however many ounces is on the counterweight. It reckoned, it leveled out, it equaled out. Paul reckoned, and he put everything that had happened on one side, and then he put the glory that awaits us on the other side. And he reckoned it. He leveled it out and he said, without doubt, the glory is sure worth it. It's worth it and a whole lot more. I reckon, he said, that the sufferings of this present world, and this is what he said, are not even worthy to be compared. Don't even use that illustration. The illustration of a scale and just glory being heavier than sufferings, don't even go there. Don't even do that. Don't even use that. He said they're not even worthy to be compared. There is no comparison. They're not even in the same universe. You say, you just don't know how many sufferings I've had, preacher. Well, I guess my answer is you just don't know how much glory God's got. You see, God's glory won't fit on the scale. All the sufferings that we've ever had, you put them together, but God's glory won't fit on the other side. It's way too big. It just run over the scale, if I can say it that way. It would demolish the scale. You say, well, what did Paul know about it? Well, he makes it personal. He says, for I reckon. Now, if I were to talk about that, and I were to go to reckoning my sufferings, I could tell you about two major surgeries. I could tell you about COVID. I could tell you about Rocky Mountain spotted fever. I could tell you about pituitary failure. I could tell you about fibromyalgia. I could tell you about, in the past, pneumonia. I was even hit with a car when I was a kid. And so, vast accidents and broke bones and all sorts of things. I could tell you about a lot of those things. I've been hospitalized on the mission field in foreign countries. Hospitalized once, should have been about three times. I've flown home so sick I wouldn't have got home in these days, but I've flown home so sick I didn't know where I was. Couldn't even get from flight to flight. I didn't know where I was. So sick. And so, but That's a little list. That's nothing. When we talk about sufferings, let's pull a heavyweight sufferer up here, and let's lay his on the scale. He says, the Apostle Paul says about his own life in 2 Corinthians 11. He said, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more often, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I spent in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without. He said, all those things are without. He said, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So the Apostle Paul has got a little bit of a balance scale going on of himself. He offers us this long list of things that took place on the outside to his body. But then he tells us about the suffering of his soul by the cares of the churches that was weighing all this time on the inside. And he kind of brings those to a reckoning. He brings those to a balance. And it seems that those emotional things that he suffered, he puts on this side of the scale and almost intimates that what he suffered emotionally has been just as heavy as being shipwrecked and stoned and beaten and all of those other things. And so he weighs those things out in his own life. And so he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. So he spends time talking about this present grief. And can I tell you, it's real. The grief is real. I've watched people. I've heard. I've listened to people. I had a woman, a young woman, come into the warehouse. It's been months ago, and she was trying to get some help, and so I happened to be dealing with her, and I was signing her up for TFAP, the federal food program, and she had three children. And I said, how many in your home? And she said, five. And then she kind of looked funny and she said, four. She says, just me and my three kids. And I looked at her. I knew she wanted to tell me something, but she seemed hesitant. She said, we just buried my husband last week of COVID. He left three kids behind and a wife. They were driving a nice vehicle. They were nicely dressed. But no doubt he was the breadwinner for the family. And I even talked to her about getting FEMA help to pay for his funeral. I mean, you know, that's how, I mean, and this thing goes on and on, folks. And by this point, 21 months into this pandemic, there's not a family this thing hasn't touched in some fashion or form. There's no one left that it hasn't touched. I'm not necessarily talking about from the funeral home standpoint, but certainly from being afflicted, certainly from being hospitalized, and yes, by burying folks as well. Over 800 million Americans have died from this thing. The suffering, and you know, I've misquoted this several times because I've said the sufferings of this present world. That is not what it says. The scripture here says the sufferings of this present time. The sufferings of this present time. What time is it, preacher? Well, it's pandemic time. There's no doubt that that's true. But can I say it this way? If the Apostle Paul were to write this today, and he were to take all the suffering that our country and all the other countries that are listening and watching have been through, and put them all on this scale over here, I believe he would still say, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that all the sufferings, the Bible says this present time, but I'm bad to say this present world. Can I say all the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be on the same scale? They're not worthy to be compared. There is no comparison between all of the suffering and all of this present grief that we're experiencing compared to all of His promised glory. Just a simple thought tonight. Just something simple. The Bible says, which compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us, that's my title, the glory which shall be revealed in us. Yesterday I was in a meeting and at Progress, and boy, God met with us. Brother Tony Finney had no idea. He had no idea. But boy, God is on him. He couldn't preach for crying. God is on him. Brother Mark Stroud preached on a fantastic job. Brother Finney got up, and you got talking about the nine that didn't come back, but that one Samaritan that came back and gave God glory. That's what the scripture here says, not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And immediately somebody said, well, preacher, what does suffering have to do with glory? Well, let's just see if there's a biblical precedence for that. Philippians 3, verse number 10, just a few pages in my Bible over. Paul, writing to the Philippian church, said, that I may know Him. Is that not our prayer in this coming year? That we may know Him? You say, oh, preacher, I know Him. No, I'm talking about that we may know Him. I'm talking about that we might know every heartbeat. that we might walk and live so close to God that we know what He's a-thinking. We know what He's a-wanting. We know what He likes. We know what He dislikes. You say, that's not possible. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. To an extent. Paul said that I may know Him, and he said this, and the power of His resurrection. Now, friend, can you think of anything stronger than that to cause a dead man to get up and walk? A dead man, not just to walk, but a dead man to get up, the power of His resurrection? You see, He didn't get up in the same mortal remains. They were changed. He didn't have to die again like Lazarus had to die again. He didn't have to die again like the widow of Nain's son had to die again. No, when He resurrected, I'm talking about every molecule of that body was changed from infinite, from finite to infinite instantly. And He had a body that could eat, that could talk, that could be touched, but would never die. And it could transcend walls and doors and other things. I'm talking about the power of the resurrection. And that I may know Him, Paul told the Philippian church, and the power of His resurrection. But wait, here it comes. I hesitate to quote this verse. I hesitate to even preach it. Because I know what happens. If you want the power of the resurrection, yes, sir, preacher, bring it on. I want it, preacher. I want the power of God more than anything in my life, preacher. I want it. Read the rest of the verse. And the fellowship of His suffering. But there's more. Not just easy suffering. Not just light suffering. Because His suffering wasn't easy. His suffering wasn't light. The Scripture says, being made conformable unto His death. That's some beyond serious suffering. That's suffering that's almost inconceivable. Yet Paul said, told the Philippian church, that one went with the other. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever known anyone that God used greatly, that He didn't hurt them deeply? Have you ever known of anyone? All the greats, go dig back and go read the biographies. Dare you to do it. Read the biographies and come tell me one that didn't. And I would say to that, well, somebody that God used in a great way, I'd challenge that by saying the biographer didn't do a very good job, or the autobiographer, the person himself, just left that part out. But I can assure you this, based on the truth of the Word of God, that great power with God and great glory is associated with great suffering. But listen to me. It doesn't mean that you automatically, if you've suffered really bad, that you're automatically going to get to see God in His glory. That's not what it means. But it's how you react and respond to that suffering. My friend, you'd get bitter over suffering and be so far from God, you wouldn't know Him if you met Him in the road. But boy, if that suffering makes us close to His heart, if that suffering makes us close to His side, they tell me that in Palestine and the Judean hills, seemed like out of every flock where the lambs would come, in the springtime, usually be a boy, little ram, and that little ram would want, he'd get up a certain age, he had enough stubbornness in him, he started developing stubbornness, he never wanted to do what the shepherd told him, and he always wanted to stray off, and he always wanted to wander. And they said the shepherd had put up with it a time or two. He'd go get him, and he'd deal with him, and he'd chastise him. But if all else failed, and he couldn't get that lamb, he knew that if it wanders off, it's going to be lost. Something's going to eat it. It's dead. So in order to save that lamb's life, he would lay its foot down on a rock and take his rod and pop that bone in the foreleg of that little lamb. Well, at that point, that lamb can no longer walk. That's the one that he would take and put around his neck. You've seen the pictures. Sometimes he's holding it. Sometimes there's a string tied around it. But after a while, the sheep actually learns how to ride there and can balance himself to a degree. But to tell me that once the sheep has become totally dependent upon the shepherd, he feels the vibration of his voice. If they're climbing a steep mountain, he feels the pulse of his heart against his little naked belly off the back of his neck. He can feel when the shepherd's cold, and he can tell when the shepherd's warm. They tell me that after time, when that foot is given ample time to heal, the shepherd will put the sheep down, put the lamb down, and said, you never have to worry about that one again. Because you know what? He wants back up where he was. He's always the one jumping up on the shepherd. The shepherd's having to say, now get down, now get down. No, I'm not caring anymore. There's nothing wrong with your leg. Now you stay down. And because he can't get up around the shepherd's neck, he worries him to death. Every step he takes, that sheep's right under his foot. If a shepherd tries to turn around, that sheep runs into him. And so will that sheep be there every day of his life. Second Corinthians 4 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There it is again. Affliction. What's it doing? Worketh for us. What? Glory. Glory. There it is. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. This is temporary. Somebody said, preacher, it's never going to end. Oh, yes, it will. Because it's seen. And everything that's seen's got an end to it. But the scripture says, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now listen. I'm talking about, yes, the nasty now, everything that's going on here and now. Oh yeah, it's bad. But it's not even worthy to be weighed on the same scale as the glory that awaits us. But can I share this with you? There are people who will live an entire lifetime and never experience what I'm fixing to tell you. Did you know that there's glory to go to glory on? There's heaven to go to heaven on? Somebody said, preacher, what's the secret? Let me tell you what it is. Keep your nose after his glory. Keep your life lined up to where this could be the day we might get to see his glory. You see, it could be I may not get home. My heart may stop before I get to the house. I may see him here in a few minutes. He may come. We may all see him here before midnight. We may all see him. This may be the day. But can I tell you, you know the best next best thing to dying or getting raptured, you know the next best thing is when God will just pull back his cloak just at least a little bit and let just a little bit of glory shine out. And you get a glimpse of his glory. Can I tell you, it's life-changing. It is absolutely life-changing. If you ever get a glimpse of his glory, the old-timers used to talk about getting in the glory. Friend, if you ever get a glimpse of his glory, you'll never be satisfied with anything else. I didn't even know really what it was. But old brother Theo Rose actually was a fireman on the train that logged the parkway, went up through the forest. He laid hands on me and ordained me. They told me one time, said, somebody was aggravating me, they said, Next time you see Preacher Rose, ask him, has he been in the Holy of Holies? I was in the community cash store, and I was back that last aisle near the dog food. And I saw him. I said, good morning, Brother Rose. I said, how are you? It was early one morning. I was there for work. And I said, Brother Rose, have you been in the Holy of Holies lately? When I said that, that 90-year-old man come alive. And he said, oh, yes! Oh, yes! And he began to run up and down the aisles and stomp his feet. And he got in the glory right there on the dog food aisle in the community cash. Embarrassed the life out of me. People was running looking to see what it was. He didn't know. Son, if you'd have held a gun on him, it wouldn't have mattered. I'm talking about at that point in his life, he's living close. You just mention the Holy of Holies, he'd have himself a time. But I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm not talking about that. So what are you talking about? Well, man's a tripart being. The trichotomy of man, what are we? We're body, we know that. We're emotion, mind, will, and emotion. But what's that third part? That spirit part. What I'm talking about is when we get past emotions, when we get past feelings, we get past that. And when we begin to communicate with God in the spiritual realm, and He begins to move on us, and He begins to speak to us in fullness, not through the physical ear and not even through the emotions or the words of a song, but I'm talking about when the Holy Ghost of God begins to communicate directly on our frequency and on our channel, my friend, ain't nothing like it. I hear people tell God talks to them all the time. I have impressions, but there are times in my life that God spoke to me just as clear. God spoke to me clearer than in an audible voice. But it's never been many, and it's never been many words. It's usually just been a handful of words. But rest assured, I knew what He said. Oh, big time, I knew what He said. I knew very well what He said. He spoke to me through His Word. He spoke to me through songs. He spoke to me through sermons. But there's been times that I've talked to God and God has talked back. And it's profound. And again, it's short, it's sweet, and it's to the point. God doesn't waste words, apparently. But it's amazing. But can I tell you that there are some things that since Brother Theo went on to be with the Lord. But hallelujah, in my young life, I got to enter into the Holy of Holies. I got to experience a little bit of that glory that he was talking about. Oh, we used to go pray in the woods, and we'd pray and pray all night, and man, we'd have a big time and all. And I've seen all the emotion and people running and jumping and carrying on, all kinds of things I can tell you people did in emotion. There's a handful of times in my life that I've actually got to see God in His glory. I'm talking about not the physical eye, but with that spiritual eye. I'm talking about God revealed Himself. It was a morning service. I'd have to go back and try to recount it. It was like basically like any other service. I gave an invitation. And when I gave an invitation, a young man come down, a boy. And I knelt with him on the front pew, and he gave his heart to Christ. And I said out loud, I stood up and I said, praise God, folks, Kevin just gave his heart to the Lord. When I said that, apparently his mama didn't know exactly what was going on. But when I said that he'd give his heart to the Lord, his mama come out of that pew on the right-hand side about two-thirds of the way back, and she come straight up and out. I'm talking about she never touched the ground. She come right straight up and out, and when she hit the ground, it was like she was on a pogo stick, and she went to jumping down that aisle and bouncing and went to that old granny woman howl. I'm talking about that old Holy Ghost granny woman howl. I'm talking about sound like a fire whistle went off. And the truth of the matter is, I don't remember much after that. I remember being under a pew, I remember noise and other people shouting and things, but I don't remember a whole lot. Folks, I got to see God in the, I'm talking about not with a physical eye, but I remember feeling how ashamed I was for putting so much emphasis on all the things of ministry and not the one that we're supposed to be ministering to. And all everything that was going on and all the things I was so cumbered about with seemed so minuscule looking at them from God's standpoint. It was like it was just talking to God. It was just like there was a, and God was communicating. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever experienced. Never experienced anything like it. The only thing I would liken it to would be like the high priest going into the Holy of Holies once a year, atoning for the sins of the people. That's the only thing I could, and it was like that. Did you see something, preacher? No. Did you hear something, preacher? No. But what God was doing inside of me, it was like I'd plugged into to a 440. I mean, it was like I just got plugged in, and it wasn't emotion. I was on my face before God. It wasn't no running. It wasn't no shouting. I couldn't have shouted. I don't know breath to shout. I was weeping. And when I finally came out of that pew, I realized that several hours had passed. It was late afternoon. And I wasn't the only one that got in the Holy of Holies. One of my men was up under the pew next to the piano. He wasn't a shouter. He didn't shout it. He never shot. And he's up under that pew. He's up under that pew. He is in the Holy of Holies. And all over that building. And folks, it changed us. It changed us. It changed me. Whoo! I can't explain to you. I'm talking about His glory. I'm talking about the glory which shall be revealed in us. I was in the pulpit. That was an invitation. I was in the pulpit. Charles Pearson called me. I was going on vacation. That my family were going on vacation. He called me at the last minute and said, "Preacher, I feel like we need a meeting. Would you come and would you run meeting this next week?" I didn't want to go. We was going on vacation. My children were little. How was I going to tell them? It'd been a rough time. It was in a rough year. It was in a rough place. Man, it was rough. I needed a vacation. Oh, I needed a vacation. I said, "Yes, sir. I'll be out. Yes, sir. I'll come." I preached, and it seemed like nothing went on. I preached, nothing went on. I preached, nothing went on. One night, I got up to preach. It was different. And I began to preach on Calvary. And I began to preach on God's substitutionary taking out His vengeance upon the Son of God. And the glory fell. I'm talking about the glory fell. That meeting ran for, I don't know how long, 2 or 3 weeks. Wasn't never like it was that one night. But my soul, what that was like. And that's the first time I'd ever felt that in the pulpit. First time I'd ever got to where I could, God got surreal, I couldn't preach. There's so much glory, I couldn't stand it. Couldn't preach. Couldn't preach. In the pulpit. A few years later, and I'm talking about years past. It's on a Friday morning. It was in Sherathon at the old trailer. It would have been the old double wide, it would have been early 90s. Jerry Mundy came in with a new song he had got from Gary Duty up in Indiana, Michigan, wherever he's from. And he began to sing, "Lord, Here's My Basket." It was a song. I can't explain to you exactly what happened. I don't know why. I don't know exactly what. But once again, I found myself in the presence of Holy God. And that song, "Lord, here's my basket." I didn't know what was going on around me, didn't care. When I finally got up about an hour later, there was a puddle where I'd cried on that carpet. And then they got to tell me all the things that had went on during that time. I remember like a little boy and picking teams for baseball. I remember like a little boy with my hand up saying, "Lord, pick me, pick me, Lord, pick me." God re-energized. I'm talking about God re-energized me. I can't explain it. I can't just listen. And I know if I'm going to get cards and letters and people are going to call and people think I'm crazy, I'm just going to tell you something. I wouldn't trade that hour. If you told me I could live to be 150, I would not trade that 1 hour for another 100, however many, another 80-something years. I wouldn't do it. No, sir. God changed us. God done some things like I've never seen. Right along that time, Randy Bain came to Rosamond and preached, "Who art thou, Lord?" And it got so holy and God got on him. I knew exactly what had happened. Same thing happened to me at Green River. God got on Randy Bain. He couldn't preach. Two tongues couldn't tell it. I didn't get in it, but he is in it. Our Lord, he's in it. Preaching like a machine gun. It defined his ministry. I was going to Egypt that fall. I said, "Brother Bain, can I have your notes?" He said, "Why, sure." We went to Egypt. It was a rough time. We had a fellow in jail. We had to go in 2x2 into a building because our meeting was illegal. It was something. We got up at the top of this building, and there's 80-something preachers there. And they didn't speak no English, and I didn't speak no Arabic. We slipped them in. It took hours for the assembly meeting. We had to preach with the doors closed and the windows closed so they couldn't hear us. There wasn't no air conditioning. Hot. I cut out on "Who art thou, Lord?" And the power of God fell. And God got on me. God got on the interpreter. I was laying down on the pulpit on this side. I couldn't even breathe. I was laying down. I was preaching so hard. He was laying down on this side. And I saw something I've never seen before since. I saw men who spoke no English responding to what I was saying. I'm talking about those people don't shout. Those people don't do that. They're quiet, reserved. You'd think there's Presbyterian the way they sit and the way they worship. It's amazing. They sat there very formally. Listen, it wasn't no formality that night. Power of God fell in amongst us, friend. I'm talking about 80 preachers standing, their hands raised. I mean, God moving. I've never seen anything like it before that. Green River was something, but son, Egypt was beyond. We were in Alexandria, Egypt. I could take you to the spot. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I'll never forget what God did that day. I'll never forget it. And you say, "Well, preacher, why are you telling us all this?" I want you to know there's some glory to get the glory on. And the fact that the sufferings are weighing and getting bigger and heavier every day, they're not even compared. They're not even worthy to be on the same scale to the glory that awaits us. We pitched a tent in Little Canada. I guess 5 of us showed up to pitch that tent. We had some difficulty with it. It is hot. It walked with us, and we had to straighten it up, and we got it crooked, and we had to straighten it up, and we got it crooked, and we fought it and fought it and fought it. And boy, there wasn't no glory in putting it up. I'll tell you that. We just give out. I said, "All right, boys. Everybody grab a pole." It had the kickouts on the side. I said, "Everybody get in a corner." It was just 5 of us. I said, "Get a corner." Everybody went to the corner. I said, "Now let's pray God will fill everything between us." And I can't tell you much about that after that. God fill everything between us. Pray around that tent. Pray the perimeter. God fill everything between us. And when I tell you this, I'm not telling you this to brag on me. I'm just the opposite. I want you to understand how how incapable I was of this. We got in the glory. I'm talking about we got in the glory. We got in the glory. And it was just like heaven came down. And it just got surreal. I'm talking about the presence of God. It was as if God was walking by. It was that real. I was scared to look. I thought he was walking the aisles. I was scared to look up. That's how real it got. And I don't know, I was hanging on. And it was like I was hanging on. It was like I was hanging on to the cross. I don't know. It's like I was hanging on. It's like I had my legs wrapped around the cross and I had my arms wrapped around the cross. And man, I was praying and boy, God is surreal. And it was just so good I couldn't hardly stand it. And I said, I got to see. This is amazing, Lord. I didn't know it could get this good. And I opened my eyes. And it was the strangest appearance. This bright orange. And it was kind of puffy looking. And I looked around and I thought, where am I? What is this? And I remember reaching up and touching it because it's just right there. And I touched it. And I said, oh, Lord, this is real. What is this? And I looked down. And I was in the top of that tent. I was in the very tip top of that tent. I'd climbed that pole. And what I was seeing was that orange vinyl. That sun was coming through that vinyl. And I was touching that vinyl. And when I figured out where I was, it scared me to death because I didn't know how I was going to get down. I don't have no idea how I got up there. There weren't no ladder. I don't know how I got up there, but I didn't know how I was going to get down. But at the point, I didn't want to come down. I was wanting to close my eyes and say, put it on us some more, God. Please put it on us some more. Lord, don't leave us now. You say, preacher, I don't believe a word of that. I don't care. I was there, friend. I was there. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. Years passed. Just a few years ago. There have been other times, but I'm just trying to say, I was in a foreign land again. This time I'm in the Caribbean. I'm in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. I'm in a conference. I've been preaching. It ain't been going so good. They lost my luggage. All sorts of things went wrong. It ain't been going so good. The preacher before me preached. And God got surreal on him. He abandoned the pulpit. He didn't even finish a sentence. He come down and got in the altar and all you hear was him snobbing. And all you hear is him crying. Now we're live on the radio. We got broadcast. We're being seen. This is live. And he's brokenhearted. And son, God smote me. This time it's in an invitation. I mean, anybody give an invitation? There are people weeping in six languages. I fell on that altar. I was so burdened. And I was so burdened over a particular situation. And I had read in a book, Heaven is for Real, about that Wesleyan pastor when his son was dying, that he said, I was banging on the gates of heaven. I remember reading that. And so I'm praying and I'm praying, I'm praying hard. And I said, Lord, Lord, I'm banging on the gates of heaven. And God spoke to me. I'm talking about God spoke to me and said, they're not locked. That's all he said. When he said that, whoo, they're not locked. Whoo, and they called on me to preach. I'm not fit to preach. I'm not fit to live. Whew. I'm talking about the presence of God. It's surreal. I can't get my breath. And he said, come on to the platform, preacher. Oh, my soul. Oh, God bless. God helped us. God, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Well, it started in the altar, ended up in the pulpit. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. But because of that meeting, I got invited to be at another meeting and be the featured speaker in Bogota, Colombia, the following year. And that time I never even made it into the service. That time I never even got to the song, never got to the invitation, never. Woo! We went in. And I was over in the back greeting folks and they come got me and they said, somebody wants to meet you. I'm not talking about emotionalism. Well, we're way past that. Trust me when I tell you, I've seen emotionalism. I like it when it gets exciting and when it gets good, but I'm not talking about that. No, no, no. Way different. I'm talking about another plane way above that. I walked over there. There's a fellow looked at me. There's a whole group of fellas, dark-skinned boys. I didn't know that we had been sending food to them and help to them in Venezuela. I didn't realize they were there yet. The Venezuelan delegation were there. I think there was 13 or 15 of them. And one of them stuck his hand out. And in Spanish, he said, my name is Whitfield Centeno. And he grabbed my hand. He grabbed my hand. I don't even remember what happened after that. Power of God fell. I'm talking about in a crowd. I'm talking about hundreds of people. I'm talking about people trying to get in the building. We've got the entrance blocked. I'm talking about the power of God fell. We couldn't even get people in the building. The pastor didn't know what to do. The moderator didn't know what to do. Friend, I'm talking about we had church, and I'm not talking about running and shouting. I'm talking about God fell in that place. I'm talking about God got surreal there that I thought this is the rapture. Sure as the world. This is it. We're just going to step right across. This is it. Woo, Lord, here, take me on home with you. Lord, do me like you did Enoch. Just let me come home with you, Lord. Let me don't go back. I don't have nothing to go back for. Lord, let me come on home with you. Woo! You say, preacher, it can't be that good. Let me explain something to you. What I'm telling you is not even worthy to be placed on the scale with His glory. What little I've experienced, my friend, it's not even worthy to be compared. I'm talking about the best that I've been through. And I've seen God surreal, folks. I felt like I could touch Him. But it ain't nothing to what it's going to be like when we get younger. Somebody said, well, when we get there, it'll all be... Hey, it's worth it now. Just one glimpse of Him. And for a finite creature to be able to bring glory to God in this world, there's nothing like it. There is no honor greater. There's nothing a human could ever do. You'd trade a lifetime just to bring a few seconds of glory to His name. That He would be exalted. That He would be lifted up. That He would take His rightful place. Woo! I wish I could tell it. I wish I could explain it. I wish I could share it. But I can't stand it. I can't. There are no words. Because it's not done in words. I cannot reduce it to its common denominator. I cannot reduce it. It was spiritual. What happened was spirit. What happened was not emotion. It was spiritual. I can emotionally explain emotions, but I'm not talking about emotions. I'm talking about the spiritual. I'm talking about experiencing God and His glory. Woo! I don't get to see it near as much as I want to. But if you told me tonight, preacher, if you'll take your shoes off and walk barefoot to Bogota, Colombia, you'll get to meet God again like that. I'd take my shoes off and set out a walking. It's worth that much. That's why you want to live right. That's why you want to talk right, live right, and stay prayed up and stay read up. And that's why you want to stay in the house of God. It was just as sure as I laid out, God would show up. I'd spend the rest of my life regretting that, because it's been few and far betweens in my 42 years of serving Him. It's been few and far between. I can count them on part of two hands. And all of them haven't been exactly the same, but they've all been, I've seen His glory. But can you imagine? As carnal as we are, as wicked as we are, as self-centered as we are, as I am, can you imagine being able to leave this body of sin beside and be able to step into His presence with a new glorified body, and that without sin? Can you imagine what it's going to be like to take that first breath in the glory world? Oh, my soul. No wonder the old saints didn't fear death. They embraced it. They might have to suffer down here to get there. But oh, praise God, they deemed that which was beyond the grave far greater than any sufferings between here and the graveyard. And friends, I can tell you, rough 22 months, 21 months, rough. Rough times. Every day there's another more rough times. Every day more people. Terminal illnesses, all sorts of things. Tough. But Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Paul said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall oh, hallelujah, which shall be revealed in us." Can I add a footnote? In this life and in the life to come. Brother Theo Rose, I get it, preacher. I get it. It's taking me a long time, but I got it. I know what you're talking about. Hallelujah, make you shout up and down the dog food aisle. Just knowing, hallelujah, Him in His presence. Oh, praise God. The songwriter said it will be worth it all when we see Jesus.